This is Truth Frequency Radio.
The wicked ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
Lovelies, thank you for joining me tonight. This is Paisley Wild, and we are off adventuring again into the spaces between. We are being broadcast live on Truth Frequency Radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and TalkStream Live. Now, if you are listening in on YouTube later, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. You can also catch us on the podcast scene. We are now in iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, no matter how you are hearing me, please do say hello. And I just want to thank you for joining me here on my spiritual journey. And I hope that you will want to continue learning with me. Now, if you would also like to support the show, I have an Etsy store. And there will be a link in the show comments. Or you can also find it at www.etsy.com/shop/ Monarch MTN Studio. Alrighty, so, you know, as we've been going on through the different shows, we've been talking about a lot of the different basics when it comes to paganism and that journey that I'm on and what so many others are seeking. And we've covered a lot of them. We've talked about tools, we've talked about the Sabbats and the Esbats and some of the different observances. And in future shows, we're going to start talking about traditions a little bit because there are several different, and we're going to start profiling some of the deities because there are a lot of them. Tonight, though, we're going to delve a little bit into the dreamland. And so we're going to talk about dream work and oniomancy and what dreams may mean, and just some interpretation. So at the very, very first, you know, what are dreams? So dreams are generally considered a series of thoughts, images, sensations that occur in a person's mind during sleep. Or it could be a state of mind in which someone is or seems to be unaware of their immediate surroundings. Makes sense, right? I mean, everybody's seen someone who's daydreamed. And we've all had dreams in one form or another. Sometimes we remember more of those dreams. Sometimes remember them less. Some we wish we could remember. And then there are those that we really wish we could forget and just never have again. And for the most part, those dreams don't have a lot of meaning. The dreams are just our subconscious going quietly crazy in the safety of sleep. And it also gives us a way for our subconscious to work through problems or issues that may not have been resolved during the day. And it's just kind of a neutral place for our mind to have fun and not have to worry about the world around. Now, some of us do seek some sort of meaning in our dreams and a way to connect to the unseen world or our guides or deities that we work with. And if you Google just how many types of dreams are there, and your answer is going to vary. Some folks feel that there are only about 3 types of dreams, and others think there's 20 or more, and a lot of variation in between. But for the course of my show tonight, because we do only have an hour, we're going to kind of lump them into 8 different categories. Now, I understand not everybody is going to be in the number, and that's okay. This is my journey. I'm glad you're here. But it's still my journey. And, you know, if you have any observations, make sure you comment. Now, my producer is in the chat room. So if you're there, by all means, say howdy. And I'd love to hear your feedback. So the 8 basic types of dreams that we're going to cover tonight are epic dreams, prophetic dreams, signal dreams, healing dreams, recurring dreams, lucid dreams, daydreams, and nightmares. Now, there's a lot of connectivity between a lot of those dreams. For instance, daydreams can very easily go into lucid dreams. Recurring dreams the same way, especially if you're very cognizant during the recurring dream. And so they are tied together. Now, we're going to start with daydreams. And so in researching, studies show that we all have a tendency to daydream on average of 70 to 120 minutes a day. Some more, some less, of course. And daydreaming is classified as a level of consciousness that is just between sleep and wakefulness. It can occur during our waking hours when we just let our imagination go. Now, as our minds begin to wander and our level of awareness decreases, we can lose ourselves in an imagined scenario or fantasy. And those daydreams, like I mentioned, do have the opportunity to move into lucid dreams or even epic dreams. I know that I personally will have a daydream going every so often, especially if I'm bored or tired. And I may be just mentally working out different things, some of my interactions with people, or if I have a meeting coming up, you know, what are the words I'm going to say? And I kind of plan it out. You know, if I say this, person A is going to say this or react this way. Person B might do this instead. And just kind of work through some different scenarios to make sure that I am as prepared for that meeting as possible. And that's just a basic daydream. Now, sometimes those daydreams are very distracting. I know a lot of us have been around children at least once or twice, and children are very prone to daydreams. It's just their imagination getting carried away, being focused on, you know, whatever game they may have been playing or character they're emulating, and just kind of staring off into la-la land. Daydreaming is the bane of the existence for most teachers, because nobody wants someone sitting in class daydreaming rather than listening to the lecture. So just, you know, daydreams. We all do it. If you've been in a conference call or in a meeting, you've had a daydream to get out of it. Lucid dreams often occur when you realize that you are dreaming. That moment you're like, wait a second, this is only a dream. This cannot be real. And so for most of us, we wake up when we realize we're only dreaming. And that conscious thought that, hey, this is a dream, kicks us out of whatever scenario that we're in. Now, some dreamers do cultivate a skill to remain in that state of lucid dreaming. And then they become active participants in their dream. They can make decisions and influence the outcome without awakening. And when you take conscious control of your dreams and direct them towards a desired outcome or letting it play out, this is really good for divination, oniromancy, which we'll get into in a bit, or maybe discovering the underlying issues in a nightmare or a recurring dream. Now, learning how to have lucid dreams is kind of tricky, and it can take years of practice. So if you're planning on doing it tonight yet, you may not have the same success that you could have in a couple months. And do remember that lucid dreaming is not the same as astral projection. They're two different things. Epic dreams or great dreams are generally so huge and so compelling and so vivid that you can't really ignore them. The details of those dreams can stick with you for years, just like you may have dreamt it last night. And often the dreams possess beauty and contain many archetypal symbology. And when you wake up then from the dream, you feel that you've discovered something profound or amazing about yourself or about the world. It's often a life-changing experience. For authors, it's often an epic dream may be the kickstart to writing your next book. Or if you have a term paper, that epic dream may just kick you into that next creative phase. Or if you're an artist, it may spur you into creating something new and fantastical. So, you know, those epic dreams are going to be full of detail and rich in color and just a vibrant tapestry. It's an epic dream. That's why we call them that. Now, prophetic dreams are also referred to as precognitive or psychic dreams, and they do seem to tell the future, or they can also explore the past. Now, one rational theory for this particular phenomena is that our dreaming mind is able to piece together bits of information and observations that we may have overlooked when we were awake or don't normally give any serious consideration to. And so, in other words, basically, our unconscious mind knows what's coming before we consciously piece together that same information. Now, prophetic dreams are not the same as symbolic dreams. They tend to be more overwhelming, and they can hold a different energy pattern. And then when you wake up, you know that the experience that you've dreamt will take place. It's going to happen. Now, the key is, what are you going to do with this information? Now, if you share that, hey, I dreamt about this last night or last week, you know, people may laugh at you. You may not be taken as seriously in the mundane world. It's okay. Just let them laugh. They're not really laughing at you. They're laughing at their inability to accept what you've just said. So what they might do with that information that you've shared is up to them. And you're done. You've shared the message that the prophetic dream has asked you to convey. And the responsibility is then theirs to do what they will with it. Now, if you do have dreams of disasters or horrible events, I totally understand. You know, who do you tell? Because generally, those who claim to have some foretelling of the future are derided in mainstream society. For the most part, they just don't get us, and that's frustrating. And you know, once you've had that dream, you know, write it in your dream journal, and you know, talk to your spiritual leaders, and you know, once you've expressed the message, you're no longer responsible for the actions that happen. So don't allow that to weigh you down or hold you back if you're beginning to experience prophetic dreams. Signal dreams are often ways to help you solve problems or make decisions in your waking life. So just like traffic lights tell us when to go or stop or what to do when we're driving or walking, signal dreams can also emphasize different experiences in your life that may be life-altering, either physically or spiritually. I attended a Beltane event with a friend here not too long ago, and when we're driving the 2.5 hours we had to go to get there, she mentioned that she'd had a dream that we would see a car accident. It's at some point on our trip, and we saw a fender bender on the way. But then we drove past a really big accident on the way back. It was enough that traffic was stopped on the interstate for about 45 minutes. We watched a movie on my phone because we had that much time. And it was fortunately nobody was hurt other than the vehicles, but it was a pretty spectacular accident and something that really stuck with her. So that's a bit of a signal dream to make us more aware of the situation, pay attention to driving, and also prophetic. So some dreams are going to contain elements of both. Now, healing dreams often serve as messages for a dreamer in regards to their personal health. Now, some experts do believe that dreams help us avoid potential health problems and can also heal us when we're ill. Our body is able to communicate with our subconscious through our dreams to tell us when something's not quite right, even before any physical symptoms might show up. So dreams of this nature may tell you that you need to go to the dentist or the doctor, or that you've got an underlying physical malady that needs to be treated. Or if you have hurt yourself during the day, often when you go to sleep, not only is it restorative because it restores your energy, but it gives your body a chance to actually heal. And sometimes we need that peace, not just to let our bodies physically heal, but even to let our minds mentally heal and just go quietly crazy. Recurring dreams and progressive dreams often repeat themselves with very little variations in the story or the theme. And now, generally, these dreams are positive, but they can be nightmarish in content. And the dreams may occur because they reflect a conflict that you are experiencing in your life that needs to be resolved and managed or taken care of. Also, in paganism, recurring dreams may be your guides or deities reaching out to you to try to teach you something, to help you learn something new. And if you haven't picked up the lesson, you might have that dream again and again and again. Or in a progressive dream, it may be a sequence of events or dreams that happen over a period of time, because once you've learned something, you absorb it and you practice it during the day. Then next time you may sleep and you're still working on it. And two or three nights later, finally, you have the next step or the next lesson in from your guides. So once you've learned that lesson or found a resolution to your problems, that recurring dream may cease or it may progress on to that next scene. And in those progressive dreams, they may repeat partially from in a repetitive type nature and then move on to the next scene. So just remember, those are problem solving dreams, and they're there to help you explore options and various approaches to problems or situations or relationships, or to help you learn those lessons that you need to learn that you may not be clicking in your waking life. Now, nightmares, we've all had them. A nightmare is a disturbing dream that generally causes you to wake up feeling anxious or frightened. Now, nightmares can be a direct response to real-life trauma and situations, and often are. And if it is, that type of nightmare actually has a real name. It's called post-traumatic stress nightmare, or PSN. People who suffer from anxiety may have a lot more of these nightmares. Now, nightmares can also occur because we may be ignoring or refusing to accept a particular situation, whether a personal one or a physical one. And research is actually showing that for those that have regular nightmares, may have a family history even of psychiatric problems or maybe some drug-related illnesses, some depression or some poor relationships. And nightmares are just an indicator of fear that may need to be acknowledged or confronted, or a situation that you need to be working through. Essentially, a nightmare is just your subconscious saying, pay attention, this isn't working, we got to do something different. Hopefully, they're not too scary. Oneromancy is the official designation for divination in which dreams are interpreted, in order to predict the future or the past. It's derived from the Greek word oneros, which means dream, and mancy, which means divination. So divination or dream divination. So often in our dreams, even the fun ones that don't have a lot of meaning, there can be a message or a part of it that we need to hear of some part of ourself. It may be a guiding light, a healthy outlet for our fantasies, some sort of inspiration, or just a way to cultivate our evolution in our path and as the beings that we are and we could become. Now, in today's society, we seem to have really lost touch with our ability to dream and connect our dreams to day-to-day life. And as we are experiencing this revolution of paganism, so many people returning to it and returning to our roots, more and more people are understanding or studying oneromancy and teaching us how to interpret our dreams so that we're getting that message. Now, we do sleep about one third of our entire lives. So, that's a lot of time to spend potentially learning more about dream divination. And if you're able to reclaim that time, it's a great way to work with your guides or your deities and learn more about yourself and your path and help you progress in your life as an individual and even, in the society as a whole. Now, often in our dreams, colors, symbols, details, signs, even smells, tastes, and scenery can bring a message of meaning and significance. Now, these meanings can be incorporated then into your life, or if you're having a dream for someone else, into their life. Now, the real basics of oneiromancy is pretty straightforward. To start, you dream, and then you write down your dreams. Pretty basic. Now, for your journal, I do generally recommend that you use a notebook and a pen or pencil, something that's easy to write with, and that you can keep close to your bed. Now, there are lots of apps you can use also. And, you know, just to start, though, if you've never really used a dream journal or journaled much at all, just sit down, write down about all the dreams you've ever had that you can possibly remember off the top of your head. And this is actually a good way to kind of kickstart those that muscle memory in your brain to remember dreams or start writing down and journaling them. And so if you've got any bit of oneiromancy ability, it'll really jumpstart that and help you develop it. And as you write down more of your dreams, it will become second nature for you to just do it. Now, when you first wake up, unless it's an emergency, you really have to get up, try laying in bed for just a little bit and let that dream come back to you that you may have had over the night that you need to remember. You know, just think about it a little bit. You know, what did I dream? Just open yourself up to the possibility of remembering it before you write it down. Now, once you do write down your dreams, you want to look at some of the signs, the symbols, the characters, and anything that might stand out to you and what those things might mean to you personally. What metaphors do those things represent? How do they, you know, match up to your day-to-day life? Does it reflect to what you may be going through now? Now, you can enhance your oniomancy using teas or crystals. Now, some of those common crystals are like amethyst or celestine or diamond. And quartz, of course, and labradorite. I can't talk tonight. So, you know, just track what you're dreaming and accept the metaphors that you may see. We've got some of those I'll mention here after the break, which is coming right up pretty quick. As you journal, you'll start to see patterns emerge of the different things that you're dreaming. If you dream about ravens a lot and what they're doing, that may mean that your spirit guide is a raven and you need to pay more attention to them in your waking life. If you're just understanding what it is that you're experiencing in your dream is going to be very, very impactful on your day-to-day life. Now, remember, dreams that you're dreaming for yourself are going to be different than those that you're trying to have for others, because that which has meaning for you personally may not have the same meaning for someone else. I know that I and my siblings, very similar experiences throughout our childhood. We remember them very differently, and as a result, we are also very different and unique individuals. Very different. And so just because you see the sky as blue, somebody else might see the sky as light blue or dark blue. So just remember those variations that may not have as much value or impact for you may have something a little bit different for another. We do interpret those dreams a little bit differently depending on where we're at and the symbology. And they will be impactful, maybe not in your life today, but in the future, especially when we're looking at the divination side of your dreams. So this is why it's very, very important to actually journal things and write them down. You can go back through and say, oh, I dreamed this, this, and this. And guess what? This happened, 3 months down the road or 3 days or what have you. And you can start tracking those things, or if you see those, that symbology that's happening often, and showing up repetitively, like the ravens, or maybe a red ball, or a child, or something. There's all these different things that may occur repetitively in your dreams that will have that impact and guide you to the next dream, or guide you onto your next step when it comes to interpreting your dreams. We, just a moment, I lost my mind. So we're going to be heading to break here pretty quick, and because we are just about at the bottom of the hour. I do believe our call line is open tonight, so if you do want to call in, please do so. The number is 213-233-3998. Now, if you are in the UK, you can call 44203-393-2871. And, you know, if you do want to share those thoughts or opinions, or if you have dreams that you want to talk about tonight, absolutely, give me a call. Let's talk about them. I might not be able to interpret them, but I'm sure that somebody listening will be able to. And, if you don't want to call in, that's fine. I get it. Some of those dreams are very personal. Email them to me. The email address is wildpaisley@gmail.com, and that is wildpaisley@gmail.com. And I love receiving the email from you guys. It's pretty awesome when I get one, or when you guys call in. I like the feedback, and it really gives me an idea as to what to talk about for our next show or in future shows. So we are going to be going to break, and because we're at the bottom of the hour, and we will see you shortly.
Frequency Radio. We are TFR.
Hi, this is Paisley Wild, and thank you for joining me again here on The Spaces Between. Again, we are live on Truth Frequency Radio, iHeartRadio, and TalkStream Live. And as we've been going, we've been talking about dreams. So if you do want to call in, the call board is open. That number is 213-233-3998. Or again, if you are in the UK and up late, it's 44203-393-2871. And here we are. So we're getting ready to talk about some of the interpretation and symbology of your dreams. I don't have a lot of information on this, mostly because I want you to study it. I want you to learn, because those interpretations are going to be unique to you. So mostly I want you to take the dream in the context of your day. What's happening in your life at the time that you're having that dream? So if you are writing your dream journal, you know, especially if you're remembering all those dreams that you've had in the past, try to afterwards sit down and write in just a journal. Maybe think back to what you were doing at that point in your life when you were having those dreams. So the symbology of a dream, well, it's a means or a way to help you understand the lessons that you may be dealing with, or how to proceed in a situation. Now, you do need to determine what images hold meaning. And now those interpretations could be found in a book on a shelf, But just remember that any symbols that you read about in a book are going to be partially based upon the experiences and the knowledge of the writer. That's why there are so many books about dream interpretation. And all of those authors are going to have a slightly different viewpoint. So one person's idea of what a snake might mean, for instance, might have no meaning or value for another person. So the person who's seen the symbols in the dream, it is generally your feeling or experience with those symbols that's going to have meaning. So just for some examples, houses. If you're dreaming about a house, so if you're dreaming about your childhood home, for instance, it could have something to do with your past, like an old memory or issue that may need to be addressed. Now, if the dream takes place in your current home, it may be related to your current life, your present day life, or your practice, your beliefs. Pay attention to what room you're in. For example, your kitchen might represent the heart of a problem, or it could be a place of spiritual preparation. Or if you're in the garage, it could mean you're entering a season of waiting that could require you to just be patient. So pay attention to the location in your dreams. Now, if you're dreaming of the beach, which could be quite idyllic because sandy beaches are often look awesome, especially on the movies, and seem too good to be true. But the beach may actually represent the spaces between, where eternity meets time, or the space between Earth and the realm of the gods. So if you're dreaming about a beach, it could mean you're having a supernatural experience or visitation with a deity that you work with, or somebody who's already passed, or maybe one of your guides. If you're dreaming about school, a lot of folks have had a dream about taking a test. It's happened a lot. And it may be a sign that you are being tested by your guides or your deities. And if the test is taking place at a school that you have attended in the past, or perhaps a place where you have experienced a challenge, it could mean that you're being taught a new lesson or a variation of a lesson that you've already learned. Now, if you are a certain age during the dream, it could possibly represent the maturity or experience that you already have in whatever it is you're being tested on. So if you dream of graduating, your guide or deity could be showing you that you're about to move on to the next level of understanding or to continue or that next step in the growth of your training. If you dream about cars, take note. One, cars are fun, especially if they go fast. But take note of whether you're in the driver's seat or the passenger seat, because these dreams could symbolize the role that you've been assigned in a particular task or that you've taken on. For example, if you're the driver of a car, you may be in charge of leading wherever it is you're going. Or if you're in the passenger, it could mean that you're going to be working alongside a group or a community on a particular task. I understand we have a caller. And caller, thank you. You're on the Spaces Between.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Black Tree. How's it going?
Good, just sitting here with my laptop, and my internet must be weird because it works if I'm not in my room, so I think I'm going to have to call my internet provider and say, what's up, man?
I understand. Sometimes I feel like I am just having my internet in the page, or in the basement, and there's just, it's frustrating. So yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
So what's
so
new?
Talking about dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the thing. It's not really an issue. It's not a problem. It's a, I don't know, a thing, where I often remember dreams that I've had years ago, and I mean like 5 years ago. I'll wake up and say I had a dream about a submarine, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I'll remember it in a few moments that I wake up, and I just now started journaling about it. But I'll remember the submarine, and I'll be like, oh, that was cool, and then I'll forget about it. And the funny thing about the subconscious is that I'll remember it, years later doing the dishes, and I'll remember it mm-hmm. very clearly, you know, but I can't remember, of course, what I did last week. So,
so for me, I do have dreams very similar to this, and they come across, they feel a little bit like deja vu for me. And I generally mark them or use them as an indicator that I am on the right path. I'm making the right choices. I am in the right place. And sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm not doing the right thing. It's that feeling you can, it feels a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have that or what?
Well, no, but I haven't had that for a while, but the deja vu thing is definitely something that I have. It was like the dream about the car wreck that happened to us. It wasn't exactly as it happened, but just the basis of a car accident while we're going, you know, I'm grateful that it wasn't us, but I just, that's the way it happens sometimes, you know, and the deja vu that happened throughout the day. And there were just so many certain things stacked up to me and still for today, you know, stack up that do tell me that I'm on the right path. So, and I often wonder because I'm on this right path, if maybe whatever deity I have or whatnot, it's going to kind of come back to me and be like, okay, you're on the right path. So therefore I'm going to give you this gift of the dreams and you're going to be able to use this ability, you know, because mm-hmm. I can't really tell you when these dreams come to me, you know, or whatnot. So.
Well, it's my understanding that if you haven't really developed a skill like oniomancy, for instance, it happens sporadically. There's not a lot of plan to it. And because you don't have a lot of plan to it, you can't really control it. And you don't necessarily see or feel the symptoms, I guess, that you could associate. I know, symptoms. That's the only word that came to mind. That you might associate with a state of divination. For instance, the car accident, you dreamed about it and you mentioned it as we were getting ready to go. So just by mentioning it, that had an impact on the probability or the potential of certain actions happening. So in this instance, it made us a little bit more aware and paid a little bit closer attention to the people around us and their lack of driving skills. And and there was a couple that we probably avoided because we were more aware and paid closer attention. So, you know, that's a good thing. A car accident in the middle of the interstate is not a good thing. And we were stuck in a parking lot for a while. If we had left a little bit earlier, we could have been in that accident. Or if we had left a little bit later, maybe we could have been in a different one. So, you know, it's all a matter of timing. So I would definitely recommend keep writing in your journal. And sit down and write down or journal some of those things that you do remember from dreaming previously and see what correlation there is to present day events. And I would meditate a little bit on your guides and see how they may be helping you. And then definitely as you develop the skill, you will see more symbology and more correlation between the actual prophetic dreams and or the dreams you're real work in to your day-to-day life and how you're interacting and working with others.
Well, and I often wonder, so if I develop this skill, mm-hmm. I feel like do I have to do something with it? I mean, that sounds stupid, but it's like, so I have this gift, and what am I going to do with it? Do I tell people about it, or is it just for me? And I assume that once it works out better, once I perfect my craft, I guess, if you will, words tonight, Friday, whatever. I just lost my train of thought. It's fine.
What obligation do you have? You know, is that what you're wondering? You know, if you have prophetic dreams about a situation, what's your obligation then to the universe to share that dream?
Kind of, yeah, because I've also had dreams about death. And before, it was just in my dreams, and then it started coming out during the day. And it would just kind of pop into my head like an idea, like I met somebody and I shook his hand and it was like, oh, that guy's going to die. And I'm like, oh, that's a horrible thought. Why am I even thinking that? That's awful. What? Nothing led up to it. And then, unfortunately, he did pass away. But it's been coming up more and more during the day than at night, you know. So I'm wondering what that's about. But that's something for me to figure out. And
absolutely. Definitely something to work on, to meditate on and work through. Journal it. We can talk off the air also. But remember, death is just a transition between one step and the next. It's not a bad thing. It's just another step. It's a bookend to life. You know, you're born, you die, and that happens. It's what you're doing in between. So if you do this, you shake the hand or you encounter someone who you feel may be approaching the end of their life, it may be an opportunity for you to help them or help their spirit understand the transition. Or it may be so that you can help the family or your friends, if you know them, with the transition between death and or life into death. Because it is just another step in our journey. It's not the ending. It's not final, in my opinion. I'm a firm believer, actually, in reincarnation. I think we do come back. I don't believe in the Christian hell. That's my own path, I guess. But it's just a transition point. So in our society today, especially here in America, we're almost taught to fear death. There's so many anti-aging this and anti-aging that to try to avoid the aging process, which leads to death. Our society is very afraid of it. But
is very afraid of it. It's awkward because I think death is really neat. And I mean all of it. There's a book that I'm reading called Stiff. And it talks about cadavers and the not so pretty versions of death. But, you know, our society has been like, this is horrible. Don't talk about it. And if you do talk about it, then you're weird, you know. And it's like, really? That kind of sucks. Because it's not like, you know, it's talking about the other shameful thing, sex, you know. Taboo.
I put them both in the same conversation. So, you know, death is just a transition. And I was listening to a podcast myself here this past week where the person who's running the podcast talked about Christianity as a religion of death. It celebrates the death. Celebrates the death of Christ. It deifies Christ because he died, and so it's just that emphasis on death, and perhaps that's why our society right now, because it is predominantly of the Abrahamic religions, may have some fear of death and that unknown, because death in the Bible. It's either really, really a good result or a really, really bad result. There's no halfway in between. There's just definitely a fear. And because of that fear, everybody's afraid they're going to go to hell, of course. There's a fear of the unknown. And people like to avoid those things that they fear, which is human nature. So
yeah.
Don't fear death. If you see or encounter someone that you feel may be passing soon, you know, treasure the time that you have with them between your meeting and the time that they do pass. And maybe learn something about them. Maybe that's what the lesson is to learn something from them.
Okay. Well, I won't take up much more of your time. I'll let you get back. But thank you so much, and I'm glad that I was able to call in.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, we'll talk more about it later. It's a gift that you're developing. Don't be afraid to embrace it and develop it. You're not obligated to the universe to do much more than to develop it and understand it for yourself. So thank you. And
okay.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
Good night. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Black Chief, for calling in. Again, just if anybody else wants to call in, by all means, love to hear your thoughts. To move on, just a few more symbology things to talk about. People, ironically. So depending on the context, dreams about people that you know might not have anything to do with them and more to do with their name itself. So if you meet someone with the name Smith, for instance, you might want to look up the name to gain some more insight into their presence in your dream. So if you're dreaming about someone with the last name Smith, maybe you're looking at crafting something or creating something like a Smith would in metalwork. But on the other hand, if you do dream of someone you don't recognize, that person could be representative of angels, guides, spirits, or deities. So, you know, just, again, being aware of the things you dream. Now, you might blush about the thought of dreaming about a bathroom, unless it's a beautiful bathroom with jetted tubs and multi-directional shower heads. I don't know. It could actually just mean that you're about to go through some sort of spiritual cleansing. So in other words, there are some things, whether you may be aware of them or not, that you may need to flush out of your life before you can move on and grow spiritually into that next step. So we all have baggage. So if you're dreaming about the bathroom, it may be time to put the baggage away so you can move on. Weather is the last one we're going to talk about here. So different weather patterns can mean different things. Rain might signify that you're about to receive an outpouring from the gods. Bright clouds, light, clear water, feeling of calmness could be symbolic of a deity or guide in your life. So just be aware of the different things that you're experiencing in your dreams, and just, you know, what are you going through? What are you seeing? And write them down, journal them. You won't see the patterns if you don't journal them. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it, you can't learn it. So that journal is going to be huge. It's not necessarily going to be like a grimoire or a book of shadows. It's just a journal. And either keep it next to your bed, download all. There's all sorts of apps. Go to iTunes or Google Play. There's quite a few. Or just go old school, notebook and pen or pencil. The last little bit I wanted to talk about is feathers, actually. Often as we are out hiking or walking or exploring the area around us, we might come across different things that have meaning. Our guides and our deities do put tokens in our path to help us. So you may have a question that you want to just really focus on, or something you want to discuss with your deity or your guide. If you put it out there, they may respond in different ways. Feathers is a really easy way. So now many cultures and beliefs do use feathers in their spiritual practice, from druids who might wear ornate feathered robes to invoke the sky gods, to the American Native American chiefs who wore feathers to symbolize their communication with the great spirit and to note their celestial wisdom. And then also the Egyptians who believed that Maat would weigh the hearts of the newly dead to determine the worthiness of the soul to for Christians who have the image or the symbology of three feathers to signify charity, hope, and faith. So feathers can lead a pretty major significance and confirmation to belief. And in dreams, feathers can symbolize travel or in life, just a real basic symbol or message. Now, if a feather appears to you or comes to you in an odd place, it's generally a sign of some sort of communication. You may find one or more that might appear in a closed, windowless room, or you may come upon one in your daily path. So to interpret what that feather might mean, just be conscious of your thoughts and the questions that you may have been asking. And, you know, it could be just your that feather that you see could be a confirmation that you're just on the right path and you're just being checked on by your guides or your deity. Now, be aware that if you do pick up feathers, there are some rules and restrictions and laws to owning certain feathers, both here in the U.S. and across the world. And you just need to be aware of that. Now, different feathers do have different colors and patterns. And just like any other form of divination, there are meanings that can be found and interpreted. So regardless of what those colors are, just be open to the experience and to that interpretation, because you're the one getting the message. And what I might have as a meaning for me could be something else entirely for you. The real basic colors are white, red, blue, yellow, green, orange, pink, purple, brown, gray, and black. There's a bunch of different colors. Now, the white feathers generally symbolic of faith or enlightenment or opening up to the divine. Red is very symbolic of energy and strength and passion. Blue is good for communication. If you're receiving a blue feather, maybe you have a psychic awareness or better connection and communication. Yellow is generally related to those things that you desire and is very connected to the sun, of course, and full of energy. It may be triggering your intuition and your psychic abilities. Green is generally connected to nature and your environment. So you may be approaching an opportunity for prosperity, or just you're feeling really good. Orange is generally related to physical relationships and intimacy. So if you're having some questions in your relationships, an orange feather may give you that nudge you need. Pink is generally a reminder of unconditional love, something we all need. And it has something to do with compassion and gentleness and friendship. Not just romance, but just friendship and compassion in general. Purple is related to a negative energy that you need to turn into something positive or neutral. You may be experiencing a greater awareness of psychic or spiritual insight. So just purple's pretty strong. Brown, you're grounded. You're feeling just a good, strong connection to the earth and also the spiritual realms. Gray is kind of the midpoint between black and white. And black is you're feeling an awakening of spirit and mystical wisdom. So that's just it in a nutshell. We're just about done for the night. So thank you, my friends, for joining me tonight. Again, give me a holler and see you again next Friday. So merry meet again. And thank you for joining me here. This is Paisley Wild, and you've been on the Spaces in Between.